First of all, I'd like to thank all of you for inviting me here this evening in this august assembly of Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. We say august, which is a complimentary term, because we can see that you're all very attached to chanting Hare Krishna. And that is, of course, the Yuga Dharma. And anyone who has understood that and is practicing that and is spreading the glories of the holy name, he's a great soul. So therefore we say august assembly. And generally sannyasis, they travel to give association, but in assemblies like this, we often feel that we're getting the association. You're chanting very loudly, very blissfully, very happily. Well, thank you. I was thinking as we were driving here this evening that in one sense I'm coming back home, because this is where I joined the Hare Krishna movement. It's been 36 years. How many of you are under 36? Raise your hands. Yes. Some of you are on Brahmaloka, Indraloka. We took our birth. Of course, I was born in California, but I migrated out here to the Midwest, I guess, Detroit's Midwest. So, in essence, we've made like a 360 degree, isn't it? Around. Or as they say in Australia, what goes around comes around. So we went to the four corners of the earth, and we find ourselves here. Of course, by the curse of the sannyas order of life, we can't stay here very long. A sannyasi is not supposed to stay in one place more than 72 hours. A rolling stone gathers no moss. So we're just here briefly, and of course we were here before we were a devotee, and that was a nightmare, but this is the reality of life, Krishna consciousness. And also we come and we have many deep, beautiful, wonderful memories of our first days and weeks and months in Krishna consciousness by the grace of our spiritual master, who swept us up in his own ecstasy of devotional service and taught us to swim in the nectarian ocean of devotional service to the Lord, how to dive and surface in that nectarian ocean of Krishna consciousness. So it's nice to come back and have those memories. The other memories of our life before Krishna consciousness, we should not dwell on that too much. That is chewing the chewed, like a little child chews some bubble gum and then, you know, puts it under the desk when he comes back to school the next day. Kids will be kids. Boys will be boys. Not the girls, right? Sugar and spice and everything nice. Frogs and tails and puppy dogs. Frogs and snails and puppy dog tails, that's the boys. So they chew the gum, stick it under the seat, under the desk, and then come back the next day. This will go on for like 2 weeks or something. So we laugh, but actually we're laughing at ourselves, because we have been very obstinate. We've been very determined to enjoy life after life after life, the chewed remnants of material existence. So that is nothing very wonderful. We don't want to have that impression. But Krishna consciousness is so powerful that at whatever stage we take up, whatever age we take up Krishna consciousness, some of you are coming in your teens, some of you are in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, some of you are late bloomers. But as they say, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And this process is so powerful, although we have a deep impression of material life in our hearts, which gives birth to so many unwanted anarthas or material desires. It's quite overwhelming, actually. We're very fortunate that this process of Krishna consciousness is even more powerful. That if we're serious about Krishna consciousness, the chanting, the dancing, the feasting is not so hard. The philosophy, the association, the service, that is so powerful that it will overcome the material impressions. And then, yam yam vapish madam bhavam, tiyajati anta kalevaram. Krishna says, whatever you remember at the moment of death, that will, that impression will carry you to your next birth. If you have any last remnant of taste for this world, then you have to come back. It's like unless you get all the bacteria out of your system, you get something like pneumonia or typhoid, or diphtheria, one little germ is left there, chances are it may come back again, or cancer. It's even more better example, I think. The doctor operates and he cuts a, here's the cancer, but he cuts a wide circle around, of flesh around the cancer, just to make sure that there's not a single cancerous cell left in your body. Because if there is, then further down the road, more misery. So before we die, we have to uproot all the lust, all the anger, all the greed. And then, and only then, can the bhakti lot beads, the seed of devotional service, in that fertile ground, practically fructify. So we have the process. There's no excuse. My mother used to say, there's no excuse for you not getting a good education, boy. The problem is you spend all day at the beach. There's no excuse. So we have no excuse for anything other than perfection in Krishna consciousness. Problem is we procrastinate. We put off for tomorrow what we can do today. But time is short. The hourglass is, the sand in the hourglass is falling. Time is short, so. But in the good association of devotees like yourself, it's possible to always remain inspired. On your own, it's very difficult. So these programs are essential. It's Vaishnav Sangha. Prabhupada said that he created the International Society for Krishna Consciousness for the purpose of giving good association. And he said anyone who thinks that they can become Krishna conscious outside of the association of the devotees, he's living in a dream. He actually said hallucination. So as difficult as it is to come here after a hard day's work, as dangerous as it is to go down to the temple in that bad part of town, as hard as it is, you know, to sacrifice some of our summer vacation for the Ratha Yatra, it's all to our benefit. This birds of a feather flock together. So even if you're a black crow in the association of so many white swans, the miracle of Krishna consciousness, you can also become Paramahansa. What is a Paramahansa? Paramahansa is he's a swan-like man. The analogies are meant to give an understanding of philosophy, which is sometimes a little esoteric. Hamsa, swan, he has the unique ability that if you pour water into you pour milk into the water, the swan, by God's grace, he can come and he can drink the milk without taking the water. And one time I tried it. Not me, I'm not a swan, I'm the crow. But I went to the lake where there were some swans and I poured milk into the water, the little group of swans, and the swans came over and they were drinking the milk, and as they drank the milk, the water was coming out of their beak. I don't know if that's their nose, the two nostrils there. I think it's for the breathing, yeah. They had the ability, they were separating the milk and the water. It was just Unbelievable. Increase my faith in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada's analogies. Wow. They were drinking the milk, but and the mix, of course it's mixed, milk and water. But the water was coming out of their little beak, their nostrils there. And they were drinking, wow. So we have to be like that. We have to be paramahansas. We're in this world, like we often say, Jesus said, to be in this world but not of this world. We have to be transcendentalists. We have to take the essence of life, which is Krishna consciousness, and leave the rest aside. Of course, you need little water. You need a little sustenance. You need some food. You need a house. You need a car. You need these things. But not more than that. Just simple living with high thinking. Nowadays, it's become complicated life with no time to think. To keep up with the Joneses. No, take what is necessary. Gandhi said, the problem is not that people are taking according to their need. Gandhi said, people are taking according to their greed. This creates the problem. So keep it simple, materially, but spiritually maximize everything. They say that too much of a good thing is bad. Even too much of a good thing. Well, that may be in material life. Too much ice cream? Whoa. Too much sun? Whoa. It's true. Too much of a material thing, good thing, is bad. But you can never say that for Krishna consciousness. You can never get enough. Medicine, purification, nectar. You can never get enough. Kirtaniyad Sada Hari. Lord Chaitanya says in his epic Shikshastakam prayers. Kirtaniyat Sada Hari. Always chant. Prabhupada, he translated it 24 hours a day. Chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. Hare
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
So this evening we'll be reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is by our spiritual master. Om Vishnupad Paramahams Paramajakacharya Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Translation and commentary. And a few realizations, maybe some time for questions. You have prasadam for devotees? Or? Yes? Okay. I'd like to say that I appreciate you came. I know tomorrow's a work day, so I was expecting 10 or 15 people. I really was. I walked in. I went, "Wow!" Yeah. So let's take let's read from the 8th chapter. Attaining the Supreme. We'll take a classic here. Text number 16. Abrahma bhuvana loka punar arvito arjuna mam opetyati kunteya punar janma navidyate. Translation. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. For report, all kinds of yogis, karma, jnana, hatha, etc., eventually have to attain devotional perfection in bhakti yoga or Krishna consciousness, before they can go to Krishna's transcendental abode and never return. Those who attain the highest material planets, the planets of demigods, are again subjected to repeated birth and death. As persons on earth are elevated to higher planets, people on higher planets such as Brahmalok, Chandralok, Indralok fall down to earth. The practice of sacrifice called Panchakni Vidya, recommended in the Chandogya Upanishad, enables one to achieve Brahmalok, but he has to return to the earth. Those who progress in Krishna consciousness or the higher planets are gradually elevated to higher and higher planets, and at the time of universal devastation are transferred to the eternal spiritual kingdom. Baladev Bidyabhushana, in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, quotes this verse. When there is devastation of this material universe, Brahma and his devotees, who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness, are all transferred to the spiritual universe and to specific spiritual planets according to their desires. This is a very famous, very important, you could say, very sober verse, but it has a good ending. Krishna's explaining the real nature of this world. He says, from the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, it's all misery. But it ends on a high note. When someone speaks, or someone does a musical recital, or he does some poetry, in the arts you learn that it should always end on a high note. So of all the poets, Krishna is the best poet. He ends on a high note. He says, Punarjanma Nividyate, despite this miserable condition, one who attains to my abode never takes birth again. Because hearing the first part, you might become depressed. And you should. You should give up all faith in the false pretense of happiness in this world. But then Krishna is very kind. He gives the positive alternative. You can go back home, back to Godhead, and never come back. One time a disciple asked Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda, when we get back to the spiritual world, do we remember that we were in the material world? I thought that was a really good question. I always wondered, when you get back to the spiritual world, do you remember that you were in the material world? And Prabhupada said, yes. You remember it like a bad dream. I don't know about yourself, sometimes I have bad dreams, because dreams are an accumulation of things we see and do during life, the impressions. So I go to some pretty, you know, different parts of the world. Probably you can see heaven and hell, even on this planet. But sometimes I have a bad dream, and when I wake up, I don't want to go back to sleep. I'm afraid the dream will continue. If it's a good dream, I turn my alarm clock off and I go deep into the something about Krishna consciousness. I don't have that Krishna conscious dreams. My godmother Shivaram Maharaj, she's always dreaming about spiritual life in technicolor. He's such an advanced devotee. Or I met one little Vaishnavi in Vrindavan. She was 7 years old. And part of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And I asked her, I said, do you dream of Krishna? She said, no. But I dream of Radharani. I said, really? Wow. What do you dream? Well, last night I dreamt of Shrimati Radhika. I was asked by one of the Sakis to go into the bowers, into the kunja, into the forest, and wake up Radha and Krishna. Oh my gosh, what a dream. I didn't even read that part of the Govinda Lilamrita. And this kid's like, you know, telling me all the details of that. So I was in charge of waking Radha. She said, not Krishna. Radha. So I very gently, because you know, the monkey, he didn't wake them up. You know, if you heard, there's a monkey. Vrindadevi engages the different animals in service in Vrindavan. So there's a monkey, and he makes a big noise, and that's how Radha and Krishna wake up from their night pastimes. And she said, the monkey didn't wake him up, didn't wake them up. He was a nonsense. They have to get home quickly. Otherwise, their superiors will find them. And they go, oh my God, who's this kid? So I said, So she said, I woke Radha up, and she got up very, took her time, she was yawning like that. And you know what she did, Maharaj? I said, what? She patted me on the head. And then I woke up. So then I said, I was like so jealous. I said, I wish that Radharani would pat me on the head. She got this face. She went, she wouldn't pat you on the head. I said, why not? Because you're a male. Those kind of dreams we want. But this dream of this life, this is nothing but a nightmare. Even the best dream is a nightmare, because in this world it all ends in death, so there's not a good conclusion. So Prabhupada said, yes, you remember. But because it's like a nightmare, you have no attraction to it. So the Lord is very kind. So this is the Lord's opinion. Abrahma bhuvanaloka punar arvito arjuna. And we should take it to heart, because we have a different opinion. We still have some secret desires in the heart, some security measure that if it doesn't work, Krishna consciousness, I can always go back to, you know. We maintain material attachments. One of the offenses to the holy name is to maintain material attachments even after hearing so much on the subject matter. We're not pure devotees. We don't cry when we chant. Our hairs don't stand on end. So we still have some attachment to this world. So by hearing about it from the sadhu, sadhu means one who cuts. Sadhu means one who cuts. When he speaks, he cuts. Not like a physical cut, but he cuts our attachments to this world. That is sadhu. A little painful sometimes to go to the lecture. A little painful sometimes to get direction from the spiritual master. He's like the doctor. He's not supposed to tell you how well you are. He's supposed to point out where you're sick and give you the medicine. So when the sadhu speaks, he speaks the naked truth. Just like we had the Nagababas. You know Nagababas? They're those tyagis. And they walk naked. They don't wear even kopans. Their clothing is the 10 directions. Meaning they do that to demonstrate they have no attachments to this world. So the naked truth is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. This world is nothing more, nothing less than a temporary place full of suffering. But it takes a while to get the message, because we're thick-headed. We think ourselves so intelligent, but we hear from Guru, and rather than give up immediately our attachments, we take 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, 50 lifetimes. Prabhupada said, don't make the business of the spiritual master difficult by making him come back to deliver you. So this is God's opinion. It's not an opinion, it's just fact. He knows. Doesn't the architect know a building he designed better than any other person? Sometime when there's something falls apart and the roof collapses or something, they call the architect. The original guy who designed it and who built it. What was wrong here, sir? I'm not at fault. No, you built it. You know this building better than anyone. Doesn't the owner of a patent know the product better than anyone else? He patented this. Doesn't my grandfather, he patented that petroleum. He saw that the petroleum was in these big tanks, and they had a top on it, but there was some space between the liquid, petroleum, and the top on the whole thing. So he showed how, because of that space, the petroleum was evaporating and they were losing money. So he designed a floating roof concept where there was no space between the petroleum and the top of the tank. So there was no evaporation. He patented it and he became a millionaire. I never got a cent of it, but, you know. So, doesn't the person who patents a product or a concept know it better than anyone else? So, Aham Savasya Pabhavo Matta Sarvam Pavartate, Krishna says, I am the source of all that is material and all that is spiritual. He knows this world inside and out. He knows it better than you because you're just in one little place. He's in every atom of creation. What is your opinion worth? Well, I think that, you know, this world is something peachy keen dandy. You know, as you're going to Disneyland, you know, what about Iraq and what about Darfur and what about the wars on the heavenly planets between the demigods and the asuras? And, you know, what is your... God is Abhijna Swarat. He's completely independent and he's all-pervading. So if he says something, that's... Well, we accept like that. Just like if you want to know about Apple, Macintosh. I have a Macintosh, a Mac. I have a Mac Pro, 15-inch screen. I wouldn't even take a PC if you gave it to me. You'd have to pay me to take the PC. I switched over to Mac. And, you know, when Steve Jobs speaks about Mac and iPhone and, you know, iPod, boing, my ears go up. What's new? How to upgrade? He's the authority. I mean, not authority in Krishna consciousness. If he told me about spiritual life, close. Or what about Bill Gates? Bill Gates, he's the authority in Microsoft. Even he's retiring, he's still going to be there for consultation. So when God speaks about this world, we should listen. So here he says, Avrama Bhuvana Loka Punar Avito Arjuna. Hey Maharaj, I've heard that before. Come on, I've been a devotee for 4 or 5 years. You know, you don't have to tell me this material world is a miserable place. But Prabhupada said repetition of something is necessary to fully understand it. What to speak about? Realize it. Especially in this age, because our intelligence is not very good, and we're losing it quickly. Tatashchanu dinam dharma satyam socham samadhaya kalena bhalina rajan nan satyayur balim shmiti. That's number 5. I've quoted it 5 times. Memorize the verse, and that's my Prabhupada said, if you quote a verse 7 times, it's yours. So tomorrow I'll quote it again, tomorrow night, and it's mine. Meaning in the sense that we it's loaned to us by Krishna in order to glorify him, to realize him. So, O King, religion, truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, austerity, duration of life, physical strength, memory will diminish day by day because of the powerful influence of Kali. You may think you're very intelligent, but just living in this polluted environment of Kali Yuga means your intelligence, means your memory, your strength, your duration of life, everything's diminishing. That's what it means. Just like to live in Detroit means, like I heard smoke, just to breathe the air of Detroit is like smoking a half a pack of cigarettes every day. Or I think it was a pack and a half. I don't smoke. I'm not getting cancer. Yeah, wait and see. Just live in Detroit. The motor city with all the fumes. Just to live here means that your body is affected. What to speak of your heart? Because Kali Yuga is such a polluted thing. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti eka mahaguna kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha param vajat. Hey King, Shukadev Goswami speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, this age of Kali is like an ocean of inauspiciousness. But there's one good thing left. Kirtanadi Vakrishnasya Mukta Sangapad. Kirtan. That will purify the atmosphere. One time Prabhupada walked into the court in Calcutta. He was obliged to sign a paper in a court with his disciples. They walked into the courthouse and Prabhupada stopped. He said, this place is very impure. Very impure, this court. Chant. So right there, you know, the judges there and the lawyers are there and the people are saying, devotees started chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So Prabhupada said, okay, now it's purified. So Chudananda said, what was the impurity? And Prabhupada said, all the lawyer's lies. Who's a lawyer here? Oh, whew. We get in trouble, you know? So this is the world that we live in. And by hearing like this, we become detached. Of course, when you look at it, I saw a couple of nice parks here in Detroit. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to slam Detroit too much. They'll probably stop me at the plane as I try to come in the city next time. No, not you, not you. All you have to say is bad things about our city. You're not welcome here in Detroit. But no, this is one of the more important cities in this country. Very big city, important people, and other things happening. So, like our temple, so and so on. So, we see beautiful things in this world. We're not fanatical. Even Krishna points out the beauty of this world. He says, "Of fishes I am shark, of mountains I am Meru, of sages I am Narada." There's so many in this world because it's created by God, because he's all beautiful. You see some of his artistry here, his beautiful nature. So there are some beautiful things, but the sum total is not very attractive. When you first look at a beautiful forest, you think, oh, what a beautiful place. There's pretty green trees and the deers are roaming. You go to Yosemite National Park and they've preserved it. It's so beautiful. But actually what's happening there, if you've ever stayed for some time, if you've done any camping in a forest, there's a bitter struggle going on there. You just watch how, you know, all the animals are competing for food, and they're not vegetarians, a lot of them. Ahastani sahashtanam apadhani chatushpadam falguni tatmahatam jivo jivasa jivanam. That's the real picture of the forest, not what you take home in the camera. Look how nice Yosemite National Park is. No. You go home and tell your parents, I went to Yosemite National Park. What did you see? Oh, what did I see? Jivo, jivasa, jivanam. What? Those who are devoid of hands are prey for those who have hands. Those who are devoid of legs are prey for the four-legged. The weak are the subsistence of the strong. And the general rule holds that one living entity is food for another living entity. That's the world we live in, ladies and gentlemen. Beyond, you know, all that glitters is not gold. If you look in the forest, look in the sea, or the beautiful ocean. It's just one, you know, one little fish is being eaten by a bigger fish, is being eaten by a bigger fish, is eaten by a bigger fish, and a bigger fish, and a bigger fish, and finally man. Nobody eats man, yes. Little tiny guys eat man. They're called cancer cells. So everyone, jivo jivasa jivanam. So therefore, it's an illusion, and therefore Krishna's trying to point it out. Wake up! You know, Sri Prahlad, Village of Peace. Wake up! Wake up! When you're sleeping, you know, you're dreaming, it's all very nice. You have to wake up and go to school and go to work. So wake up. Listen to the sadhu who's cutting through your illusion. What does he say? What does Shukadeva Goswami say? This whole material existence, it's Gandharva Pura. It's Gandharva Pura. It's a house in the sky. Elsewhere he says, this whole material, the conception of happiness, it's a horse egg. Excuse me, Swamiji, there's no such thing as a horse egg, and houses don't live in the sky. Don't exist in the sky. Yes, sir. So in the same way, there's no happiness in this world. But Maya Devi, under the direction of the Lord, she's very powerful. She can make it look like something it's not. She's so expert. That's the art of war. The art of war is called deception. The real trick of winning a war is to deceive your enemy in so many various ways. So, Maya can make it very like it says in the Bhagavatam, Mujanti yat sarayaha tejo vari midham yata vinimayo yata trishargo. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion. As one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire and or land seen in water. Just like you're on the ocean, and sometimes it looks like there's land far away, but it's not actually a landmass. It's just a reflection of the sun on the water. Or you're in the desert, and you see water. It's not water. It's just a reflection of the sun on the sand. So Maya can create a phantasmagoria that we believe that we can enjoy. She's a good trickster. Just like in the Mahabharata, it describes how Duryodhana, he once visited the imperial palace of the Pandavas. And that palace had been constructed by Maya Dhavana. And when he entered that mystical palace, he saw what he was walking to have a meeting with the Pandavas, and he saw what appeared to be water. So as he's watering, there was no other way. He had to go through the pool of water, so he lifted his, you know, the Kshatriyas wore those kind of skirts, and then they had those long stockings. So he lifted his skirt up a little bit, and he revealed himself, his underwear. But there was no water. He's just, to everyone else, he was just walking along, and he suddenly lifted his skirt up. And all the ladies in the palace who were up in the, you know, they have the higher area there, the higher floor, they looked down. They were laughing and laughing, laughing at Duryodhana. He's just walking, but he saw what appeared to him to be water, but it wasn't water. It was an illusion. So he lifted his skirt up, and everyone laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. And then he came to a real pool of water, and he thought, I'm not going to be tricked again. And he walked in, he fell flat on his face and got all wet. Then he came to a crystal door, which he thought was open, but there was no crystal door. Well, he thought the crystal door was open, and he walked into it and bumped his head. It was an illusion. And the ladies in the palace were laughing and laughing and laughing. So it's sort of funny to hear, because we don't like Duryodhana. He's one of the bad guys, so we like to see when he's embarrassed like this. He thinks he's so great. But actually we're laughing at ourselves because we are falling for all the tricks of illusion in this world. What's the greatest trick? Well, there's two tricks Maya has, Prabhupada said. One is she causes us to think we're the body. And the second is she causes us to think that we're God. These are the two snares of material existence. It's really hard to get over the first one. But it's even harder to get over the second one. It's really hard to come to the point of really accepting and believing and acting on the spiritual platform, giving up the bodily concept of life. But when you get over that, if you become a trans, because there's, you can get over that, then there's another trick, that I am God. Because there's transcendentalists who have absolutely no attachment to this body, absolutely nothing. They're transcendentalists. They have no attachment to this body. But they're meditating, thinking, I am God. They're called Mayavadis. Mayavadis are very advanced persons. We should be careful when we criticize them. They're very advanced. They have no attachment to this world. Do you? Yes. So be careful. These Mayavadis, they are transcendentalists. But they've got the last snare of materialism. They think that they're God. There's so many ways to defeat that. We'll just give one point. Prabhupada said, God is always God. He doesn't become God. You're meditating to become God? God is always God. He doesn't become God. So these are the two things that we have to overcome. So we've got a lot of work ahead of us. We think, oh, I've got a lot of work in the office. I've got to pay my taxes pretty soon. April's coming. A lot of work with my accountant. I've got to clean the yard today. I'm going on a business trip to increase the business overseas. I've got a lot of work to do. Well, hold on. Are you working on overcoming the bodily concept? Are you avoiding the misconception that you can become God? Just like when Vishwamitra Muni was approaching the palace of King Dasharath. King Dasharath, he was king, but he stood up to receive the sadhu. And he said to Vishwamitra Muni, how is your endeavor to conquer over the repetition of birth and death going, sir? He didn't say, how's the business? How's the wife? How's the kids? No, that's how we say, how you doing? How you doing, mate? How you keeping, they say in South Africa. How you keeping? Everyone says, fine. You should say, terrible. I'm still in the material world. So we have a lot of work to... Are you putting in as much effort into your overcoming the bodily concept of life as you are to satisfy the needs of this body? The yin, the yang. It's all about finding the balance. You can't be all material, but you can't be all spiritual too. You can, eventually, but it would be artificial for most of us to just give up material life altogether. But it's a constant struggle to give more emphasis to the spiritual life. It's a rare soul who can actually do that. But that should be the vision of ourselves further down the road. Everyone should have a vision of themselves 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, down the, at the moment of death. I think in good management, isn't it? They have what's called goal setting. You set a goal. Where your business, you want it to be in such and such a time. You should also have a vision of yours. Just close your eyes and just envision yourself 10 years from now. Where would you like to be? And what do you have to do to get there? If you don't have these goals, then you're not going to be very responsible to... That's why we set goals. Because if you don't set a goal, you just procrastinate, you waste time, you fool around, you do a little bit. You put in the least effort. But if you know, I want to be here in 10 years, my business and my spiritual life, you know exactly what you want to do. We have the Goswamis have set the goal for us. Adoshradha tatas sadhu sangha tabhajana kriya narta nirviti syat. Come into the association of devotees, you get some faith, you begin to practice regular principles, you get initiated, you're strict, you chant, you serve. And by the time you're 50, you want to be free of all material desires. That's sannyas. Sannyas means no more material life, only Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey, by 50. Technically, a man would renounce this world at 50. And the whole rest of his life devoted to God. Now, how many years do you have left to 50? If you're 35, you've only got 15. Is that correct? 15 years is not very much time. Thank you. If you're 55, whoa, you're way behind. 60. This is how we have to think. What kind of vision do we want to have of ourselves? What do you want to be? Oh, I'd like to be like, I'd like to be free from lust and anger and greed. It's ruining my life. I'd be like to be free from mental speculation. I'd be like to be free from doubts on that side. On the other side, I'd like to have a deep appreciation for the holy name. I would like to Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. By a certain age, I would like to realize that Krishna is none different than his name. Don't set your goals too high, because that might be artificial. Sahaja. But when death comes, where do you want to be? Oh Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. We should all aspire for that. Just like Jesus said, be like thou Father who art in heaven. Don't be God, but be godly. You want to be godly by the time you leave this body. These are our goals. This is our most And these are our most cherished goals. These goals should be more dear to us than, you know, building the business up and turning it over to the kids. And retiring to a condo in Florida. But we've got a great task ahead of us, because one time Prabhupada said, if I revealed all your material attachments to you, you would faint. Well, sometimes we don't hear the whole story. Like the doctor, he doesn't tell you in the beginning everything. He kind of helps you. He kind of reveals a little bit. Then when you're ready, he tells you, well, you have cancer. If he tells you right away, you fall apart. But, you know, this is a serious problem we have here, and but we're going to tackle it. Don't worry. This is it's something a little serious. I have to tell you, it's going to be tough. But, you know, we have the means now in modern medicine to deal with this. You have my support, the support of your family. What is it, doc? You know, and you see, doctor says, it's going to be all right. Don't worry. We just got a little cancer, that's all. But we can help. So if the Lord revealed everything, we might just, like, give up. But, you know, he reveals to us bit by bit, and we take care of that. And we surrender. And we, you know, it's worth working for it, because the goal is so nice. In the factory, you work very hard, and you just get this measly little paycheck at the end. It's not very inspiring. Right? You work so hard, but you only get $7 an hour. Oh, my God. Everybody would like to have a job where, you know, I know that my son's accountant gets $250 an hour. That kind of job anybody would like, right? Because you work hard, but the results are so nice. So we have to work as hard at Krishna consciousness as we do at making a living. But making a living will never really bring the real reward. You're left with nothing at the end. But in Krishna consciousness, you work very hard, yes. You're chanting, it's not easy. It's hard to follow all the regular principles. Hard to always come for the programs. You know. But what is the result? It's so wonderful. You get pure devotional service. Savai pumsham pada dharmo yato bhaktir adoksaji haitati apatiyata yayatma supersedati. The supreme occupation for all men and women is that by which they can attain to the devotional service of the Lord. It must be ahaitakiya pratiyata. And what happens when you reach that final goal of Krishna consciousness? Yayatma supersedati. The heart of hearts is completely happy in Krishna's service. So we wish you all good luck. Actually, it's not luck. We wish you the blessings of the Lord, the spiritual master, and the Vaishnavas, so that in our short lifetimes we can achieve that exalted goal of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.